Yo, how you doing?
Well, I'm depressed, Tim. I'm sad. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, turned down Texas's
yes.
lawsuit. So that looks like that is the end of the road for Trump's.
That was the strongest legal case because they rejected the Pennsylvania case. Yeah. It's hard to. Here it is. This is the New York Times. So take it for a grain of salt, whatever. The Supreme Court on Friday rejected an audacious lawsuit, this New York Times editorializing a report, by Texas that had asked the court to throw out the presidential election results in four battleground states captured by President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr. The court, in a brief unsigned order, said Texas lacks standing. That's always kind of an excuse to court not look at a case. To pursue the case, saying it has not demonstrated judiciously cognizable interest in the manner in which another state conducts its elections. The move, coupled with the one-sentence order on Tuesday, turning away a similar request from Pennsylvania Republicans, signaled that the court refused to be drawn into President Trump's losing campaign to overturn the results of election last month. This is really bad reporting. Poor writing. I didn't read the article before. Boy, the New York Times really is awful. Can you just refrain from editorializing for like one paragraph? This will continue to be scattered litigation brush fires around the nation. Look, it's almost like a novel or something. Trump allies, but as a practical matter, Supreme Court's action puts the end to any prospect that Trump will win in court what he lost at the polls. Wow. See that? Yeah. Texas lawsuit filed directly in the Supreme Court challenged election procedures in four battleground states, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. It asked the court to bar those states from casting the electoral votes for Mr. Biden and to shift the selection of electors to the state legislatures that would have required the justices to discard millions of votes, of course, millions of votes of which are highly suspect due to all the, quote, so-called irregularities. Now, mind you, when you find an irregularity in counting, you're usually dealing with embezzlement or fraud. Same thing with votes, actually. So that's where it stands. They just turned it down. It's too much of a hot potato in the handles. I think it was 7-2. Alito and Thomas said they could review the case, but the five others not reviewing the case. They also rejected to hear the Pennsylvania case. Some have speculated it's because the Texas case made the Pennsylvania case redundant. Of course, that apparently isn't the case here. Looking at the Texas case, it seemed to have firm grounding legally. And I said, right after the election, that, you know, if the rules are followed, Trump wins. Well, the rules aren't being followed, evidently. And that was why I didn't think they were going to be followed. Basically, the legal team filed, it was a Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton who filed the lawsuit. Directly with the Supreme Court earlier this week. The reason why, of course, this freaked a lot of people out because it did have such a strong case. In fact, the court ordered a response from the four states, which usually suggests that they're going to take the case. And from what I gather, I didn't read any of the responses, but from what I gather from the summaries of it, no one actually tackled or they didn't deal with the substance of Attorney General Paxton's lawsuit. They said this is unprecedented. You can't do this, overturning an election. Well, that's true, but we also have unprecedented election fraud. Just because it's unprecedented doesn't mean it's not right. You're dealing with a unique situation. The case based itself on the fact that the state legislatures are given the unique and plenary authority to select presidential electors in the manner – which they choose. And what happened was, this is the Elector's Clause and also the 14th Amendment, because there was the Equal Protection Clause violation when the states started counting the votes differently than other states, and also violating the Elector's Clause. Also the Guarantee Clause. The Guarantee Clause means that each state, the Constitution guarantees each state has a Republican form of government, and when the governors and the respective state courts and secretaries of state openly violated their respective states' laws, which are created by the legislature, they violated their state constitution, also violated the Elector's Clause, which is a firm, I think, a strong argument. And that's how they were able to carry out the election fraud. A good example was, I think, was it in Michigan, where they sent out 7 million unsolicited mail-in ballots, which is a direct violation of state law. So what we have is, I mean, all over the place, we have, ballot stuffing, evidence of fraud all over the place, invented ballots, backdated ballots, failure to allow monitors to monitor massive amounts of vote counting, a whole host of statistical anomalies or irregularities that have been proven or shown to be statistically impossible, therefore impossible. Evidently, vote switching, electronic manipulation, vulnerabilities, people, I guess, sworn affidavits and testifying to these things, and also the fact that the software had backdoor. This is the Dominion machines. They could be accessed remotely with backdoor software. We have fractional vote counts instead of raw numbers. How do you get that? We have, of course, these key battleground states all stopping the vote or the vote count simultaneously on election night, after which huge numbers switch from Trump to Biden. Close to 1,000 affidavits from poll workers attesting to the fraud. He had this spectacle of windows being boarded up and blocking observers in various precincts. You had unbalanced voting. You had many precincts in Michigan with 350% voter turnout, 100%, 120% voter turnout. You've had reputable expert data analysis stating the voting fraud was occurring on a large scale. Yet that doesn't seem enough to move the courts, or the courts can take a legalistic approach to it. But you have the state legislatures. All of these states are controlled by Republicans, and none of them seem to be moved to, or at least motivated by this evidence to act accordingly. And yet they're going to stand back and certify what is obviously a fraudulent election and let Joe Biden assume the presidency on January 20th if nothing else is done. I mean, that's where it stands. There's no organizational resistance to this. You know, that's what's – yet you have close to three-quarters of Republicans, and as many as 30% of Democrats admitting that the election was rigged. So now you have a question of legitimacy in the vote. How does anyone even trust a vote anymore in any election with this going on?
You can't. In fact, Sidney Powell mentioned that her evidence indicated that the U.S. elections had been manipulated for years.
Yes.
And having seen the ham-handed method, made clear in this one, I believe her. Mm-hmm. You wonder about people like Gavin Newsom and the whole California crime syndicate, mm-hmm. family, political structure, are any of their elections real? It's an unreal world, Tim. Unreal financial policy, unreal explanations by the government for, how buildings collapse, unreal moon landings, unreal pandemics. And now we have an unreal election. The power of the media, which was developed, particularly with MK Ultra, end of World War II, when they really, developed the personal computer and then mass media. I mean, it's really been a great conditioning device, so that now these phenomena, which when you analyze them a little bit, are just completely impossible to be real, but they have tremendous propaganda power. People are, many, many people are just believing that Biden got elected. I doubt if he got 50 million votes.
Yeah, it's that
but,
bad.
But that's just too bad.
He also, if you look at him, he's obviously well into dementia, and no one's talking about it. He looks like FDR at Yalta, if you recall that photograph of FDR. It was like he was walking dead, and he drags the – he has that – when he walks away, he drags one foot. This is before he broke his foot, really. And, again, it's something that's so bizarre that, again, we strayed so far from reality with the mind control and fake media.
That's right. He's really just a hologram at this point. And, of course, Camilla Harris is even worse. I mean, mm-hmm. The only background she has is degeneracy. I mean, what exactly are her qualifications to lead the country?
Well, she's the half person of the year. Because the other half person is Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, they are both half people.
Time Magazine came out.
Yeah, I know. So they became people of the year today. It's just
no one reads that anymore.
Ironic.
But it's person of the year, and it's two people.
Yeah, so they're just there's a pixelated reality, and Biden and Harris are false humans. They're all politicians to some extent are that way, but this is such an extreme case. It's just a
what's
mirage.
Weird is in the past a politician would have to have some sort of personality, charisma, or some sort of public persona that was created. Whether it's Reagan, even Bill Clinton. Even George Bush, George H.W. Bush, with his background, but now Biden really should be in a retirement home, being cared for, and what, my Lord, what does I mean? If this office is really as important as powerful as they say it is, why would you get anyone like Kamala Harris that close to to the Oval Office, a half a heartbeat away at this point,
Yeah, I kind of think, and we've discussed this in the past, that what we're really in is a process by which the American, European particularly, is being abstracted from a coherent political process.
Yes.
Politics are so insane and produce such crazy results that there's no particular reason to look to it.
Let me give you an example of that insanity, clown world.
And this is just another insane aspect, and we're supposed to just shrug our shoulders and go down to the vaccine dispensary and take it. I mean, this is.
But here's an example of it. Tulsi Gabbard today had to propose legislation explicitly to prevent boys from participating in women's sports activities, boys who identify as girls in. Participating in women's sports, a part of Title IX. It's a specific legislation she's introducing. And she's interjecting sanity back into this, okay? And Joe Biden, one of the big issues, I guess executive order initiatives he's going to have, is going to sign an executive order requiring public schools who obtain federal funds, of course, most of the schools are closed right now, to give access to boys who identify as girls, perhaps vice versa, access to women's locker rooms and sports programs. That's how far removed from – that's insane.
This is the triumph of cultural Marxism. We discussed it last week when we talked about the definition of it given by Gregor Lukács back in 1919 in the Hungarian Soviet when he said, the purpose of our education is to break down the child's identification as a human and even on to being an animal and beyond that even to a vegetable. So – this is, when they just do these bizarre disassociations from humanity as pedagogy or as political policy, it may seem crazy. It's part of the clown world, and you shrug it off. But really, there's a very malicious and very precise design to it.
A lot of resources, organizations are devoted to this. NGOs, foundations, the Tide Foundation, the Pritzker Family, Open Society Foundation, George Soros, a lot of money is going into
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. I mean, look at example is how, exactly that. So we have a situation, go back to the election, is where you have a clear violation of state law and federal law and the Constitution. And no courts at the state and federal level seem to be concerned about that. And yet what they do is they're just citing the results that was reported by the New York Times or CBS or MSNBC or NBC, despite there's no reality to that, because again, what they're citing, you can't overturn these votes. You can't discount 39 million votes, but the votes are fraudulent. And they can't say they're not being, you're not disenfranchising the enemy. This is the inversion. Actually, you're preventing disenfranchisement by overturning obviously voter fraud, for which there is substantial evidence to show that, at least to
Substantial evidence.
make the political decision for that. And technically speaking, and this what shows the ignorance even over the state legislatures is the Republican legislatures, the ones concerned in these states, have the power, the granted invested in them by the Constitution, invested in by the Constitution. There's evidence of fraud, so they not only do they have the power, they have the moral authority and also the political backing to do it, because you have, probably close to 80 million voters are disenfranchised by all this voter fraud, yet they do nothing. In fact, they have to be told about their responsibilities by Giuliani, Janet Ellis, and instructed them. No. So they're saying well, if we do this, we'll disenfranchise the voters. No, the way it works is the legislatures are the ones who are enfranchised to elect the president. The state legislatures, they choose the electors. They've chosen an at-large election in most states to choose electors for the president. At any time, they can take it back. Now, why would they take it back? There's any number of reasons. One reason you take it back is when there's evidence of mass voter fraud, systemic
Jim, I
voter
just
fraud.
wanted to ask you a question. Do you think there's any chance of a intervention by Trump between now and the inauguration? In other words, do you have a
Like a martial law type
kind
thing?
of, there are a lot of like fantasy websites, that talk
Yes.
about the deep state that is this battle that's going on in the QAnon theory. There's some sites that are like touting the possibility of a revolution in the state legislatures. Do you think there's any reality to any of that? Were there any chance of any of that occurring over the next month?
Well, it's hard to say. I'm not seeing any evidence of that in the various states, but then again, a lot of the stuff it may not being reported on. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of agitation, tension out there. It isn't being reported on. There's going to be a protest in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, and this was, I think, in anticipation of this ruling. And it's interesting to see how it affects the rally, the pro-Trump rally in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. It may augment it. The anticipation was that if the election was overturned or Trump won, straight up, or and there wasn't the voter fraud, or there's some sort of a reversal of the fraudulent election by the courts, that there'd be protesting and rioting by the left. Everyone kind of expects that because that's the low expectations we have. In fact, it's organized to do that. I don't think their counterparts on the right will respond that way because they're more law-abiding, and I think they'll respond in a way that they'll kind of be despondent, and they'll sort of just kind of in the next few years just kind of drop out of system and sort of practice their own form of nullification, but just simply not buy. And this is probably the healthiest approach to do it, is sort of nullify or ignore the authority, pretend they're not there. What type of intervention? I do think that if Trump is really in control of the executive branch and Justice Department, he and this is something where his attorney general failed him, is they already have enough evidence to go in, like in Atlanta, federal, and interrogate those people down there committing fraud. They didn't do that. It's kind of funny. You had more FBI agents investigating Bubba Wallace's garage than multi-state election fraud. This is a federal issue, and they're just not interested. I know it's fraught with political, implications because he's the one being elected. Nevertheless, there is a solid case for criminal case that could be made. But I don't think he has the troops to do that within the Justice Department,
The one kind of independent media advantage that comes out of this sad situation is that I have felt for years that the QAnon theory and a number of sort of arch patriotic kind of independent media types, David Steele, these kinds of guys that believe there is this struggle going on in the military and the political background, and that the white hats will eventually win. I think that'll all go by the boards now, that people will just stop being interested in that what I believe is a fantasy, and this will help them focus on a more realistic response. And a one base in fact, you know, where we realize that, you know, both political parties are corrupt. There was a statement made by the Texas Attorney General after the Supreme Court made their announcement, and he said, you know, maybe now is the time for states that want to live under the Constitution to form an organization. And of course, he was, you know, widely criticized as basically calling for secession, which in fact, I think, is a coherent understanding of the position. But that idea is one I, you know, you can rally around, you can create coherent political ideas. You can't really have an effective resistance if you're living in a dream world. You know, the QAnon thing has been very, very, you know, much of an intellectual cul-de-sac, and has led people away from, you know, like just kind of the pragmatic resistance that we need to start organizing. In fact, I would go so far as to say as a lot of Trump's popularity is based in that, is mm-hmm. based in that he was a player in this dream world that people were living in. And now this will all end, and you're going to be facing the combination of the president and Antifa, basically. This is the lineup. I don't know if you saw, but Antifa has set up a new autonomous zone in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to get real good details, but it looks like it's a couple blocks. And what's amazing is that inside it, there are residences. There are people who are trapped inside the autonomous zone. And the population that, you know, has taken over and set it up is really degenerate. The videos I saw were, you know, drug addicts, you know, just the basic fentanyl brigade. And of course, led by degenerate cultural Marxists. So, you know, they've barricaded it. They've shooed away the police. Wheeler, the mayor, he issued a very stern warning to them that they shouldn't do this. That really didn't do much. Then the police chief also issued a stern warning. They even sent some police, but they weren't told to, of course, use batons or anything to move people out. So the police issued a stern warning. So, you know, the population of Portland is without any defense at this point, it seems to me. And so that is the real world. That's the world we have to try to make better. The fantasy struggle that the QAnon theorists were presenting to people is not a real world. And so if we're going to make our world better, we have to, you know, use this moment to really get a, you know, an honest appraisal of where we are. What power do we have in this world? And of course, you know, what power does the forces of cultural Marxists have? Try to be a little clearer in our efforts to fight against, a little bit smarter.
Yeah, I mean, going back this past year, beginning in late February or March. It was Trump that signed on to the emergency decree, which then justified the lockdowns. Any proof of feckless throughout the summer, everyone has been speculating, well, will Trump resort to martial law if he sees this as some sort of coup? And you can make that argument. I mean, presidents have been lionized for such things, like Lincoln, right? Lincoln. What did Lincoln do?
Sure.
You know, they haven't been a Greek temple in Washington, D.C. I haven't torn a statue down yet. And so if the president is indeed confronted with evidence, and you could say his political self-interest is involved in this, but if he is indeed a privy or given evidence of a sort of a coup carried out by a transnational elite orchestrating and a criminal conspiracy along with the Democratic Party and some in the Republican Party like Raffensperger or Kemp down in Georgia, would never have a responsibility to act, to enforce the law? He's the chief law enforcement officer of the country. again, fraught with a lot of risks in politics, because you could see he's benefiting. He's not admitting his defeat, but the facts on the ground. We're living in a situation where facts don't matter, and that's been clear throughout this entire scamdemic, and so that doesn't matter. So not only you can present the facts, you can make your case, then win based on the facts. It's obviously not the case here. This is what we're seeing here is power being flexed, raw power. And so, to hell with the rule of law, to hell with the Constitution, to hell with technicalities, and we see that all over the place where the election laws were flouted, in such an obvious fashion too. So it's in your face. So it's sort of revelation of the method, revealing the hierarchy of authority here, and it ain't the president who's on top. But you can make the case where he could see this as a criminal conspiracy and arrest the conspirators and make the case. And again, presidents have been lionized for such actions in the past, made heroes. That's probably not going to happen. And again, that
That's
itself would,
far-fetched.
it's far-fetched.
But Jim, I just wanted to say I'm in complete agreement and would point out that your concern that he would face political risks is at this point not particularly relevant because he's being illegally taken off of the stage of power if he abides with the false election. But moreover, your point that politicians have been lionized, Tim, he would have 70% of the population in back of him if he made a clear case. You'll
Here's the
recall.
thing. The conspirators would involve the corporate media.
Of course.
And Lincoln himself shut down newspapers for less. And so this again, this is these are corporations. They're not the fourth. The First Amendment's meaningless at this point. They're not the Fourth Estate. They're part of a corporate cabal orchestrating a coup that also involves. We'll get into it. What's going on? With the the magic jab and the ongoing pandemic scam. So again, it's dangerous because. One side, or these elements, we have a conspiracy where the conspirators are not following the rules of law, the rules of the republic, and they're carrying out a coup under the cover of these laws. And I understand it's difficult. How would you navigate that without turning into a dictatorship?
Well, I would just say that even that is not something to be concerned about because he would be attempting to prevent the takeover of the United States government
What's already
by
happened at the states? We have,
outside interests. So he is entitled to use any means at his
we
disposal.
have martial. It's like we've been invaded.
You'll work out the continuation of democracy after the fact, but right now he has to prevent the takeover. And like you'll recall, several weeks ago we had this discussion, and then at the end we said, and this is why it isn't going to happen, because Trump is really unfortunately on the wrong side here. I mean, in my opinion, he's a lifetime actor. He is representing, kind of the white male. In fact, I would even go so far as to say the way he loses here with just an in-your-face, rigged election is psychologically designed, to make the European feel discouraged and that there is, no one represent us, and they can just get away with everything. And in fact, these are true, facts. I mean, this is our reality. So to make the world better, we have to start where we are, to use an expression,
Well, let's
and
say those who would be worried about a declaration of martial law. So we already have martial law declared in how many states? With lockdowns?
yeah, I
In
don't know. I mean,
California, New York,
everyone.
Michigan. I know it isn't like you have put troops on the street because you have volunteer, you have compliance. But I'm saying is businesses have been shut down. Hundreds of thousands of restaurants have shut down. Even more other small businesses. People's livelihood has been stripped from them. They're being dispossessed. But you know that the lady who posted that video out in California, she had that restaurant, and she was I think what's her name, Marsden. I forget her first name, but she posted that video that went viral about how her little restaurant was shut down with the outside, where she was serving people outside. She wasn't allowed to do that. Outdoor dining was banned overnight in L.A. By Mayor Garcetti. But right across the parking lot, there's a huge tent for accommodating far many people for a film company.
Essential, Tim.
Essential. And she said, "I'm losing everything. I'm losing. I'm being robbed. It's being." I think she used the term, "It's being taken from me." That's what's happening.
Try, repeating that fact 10,000 times over, because that's what's going on in Los Angeles right now. It's just the most cruel and dictatorial thing imaginable. And of course, as we have discussed, this is for a disease that is just a media event.
But
It's
my
just
point is they're saying they're worried about oh Trump and he's Hitler. Says, well, where's Hitler when you need him? It's like he's
I
Hitler.
mean,
It's like, would Hitler put up with a stolen election?
but no, but you see,
I
this is
mean,
the success of cultural Marxism, where the citizens actually believe that Garcetti and Gavin Newsom and Biden are there to help them. They've been so turned around intellectually
But
that they're
they're the
just
ones violating the law. They're the ones violating the Constitution. The point is, you have these little tyrants declaring their own little martial law in these various states, and they're worried about martial law. Well, you've already accepted it with the stupid COVID stuff, lockdown.
Martial law from Trump would at least create the possibility of an end of martial law, whereas the martial law from Newsom and Gavietti and Cuomo and all the little tin pot dictators in the various states will never end. It's never going to end.
Well, it's almost like the situation in Spain in the late 30s, right? You had the Republic ruled by communists, and then you needed a Franco to come in and establish order and give people their livelihood back. And that's, it's rapidly, the situation rapidly becoming that here in the United States.
Right. Well, it's going to very rapidly become like that if the vaccine is given out en masse. I don't know if you've been following the launches, but in the last week there were vaccine launched in Moscow, and one in Australia, and another in Britain, and all of them were recalled or stopped, paused because of there was bad reactions to it. In Russia, they said that they were going to require the jab to not drink alcohol for 6 weeks. That's an interesting problem. In England, they said that you couldn't have allergies. And then in Australia, the really frightening and bizarre response was is that immediately after being vaccinated, the people who had taken the vaccine started to test positive for HIV, and that really indicates that there is some,
Autoimmune response.
autoimmune issue with the. I mean, people have really been worried about this. I don't know if like one of the strands of concern that people have is with the. Diseases like prions, which are they have the capacity to not cause any trouble for a period of time, but then but they are completely unstoppable, and then suddenly you'll start having neurologic disorders. You'll start having bizarre immune system responses and things like this. And these are completely undetectable, which, well, they're not completely undetectable, but they're very difficult to detect. And I would point something out, Tim, just a practical matter. They're talking about that the vaccines have to be kept at these incredibly low temperatures, like minus 70, which are things which the public could never, I mean, how would we be able to achieve such a low temperature? But we're going to need to find a way to get our hands on some of these vaccines, some actual vials which are not being put into people, because we need independent laboratory analysis of them immediately. I mean, immediately. As soon as they start rolling these things out, we have to find a way. I hope every person who listens to me agrees, and if an opportunity occurs, you take advantage of it, to get our hands on some of them and then. these would be treasures that we would try to get to independent laboratories. In fact, one service that we might use the bulletin board for is this very thing. If you know you can't post doctors, but you might be able to post laboratories that would do research like this. In any case, we are going to have to identify people who can do some analysis of them, and then we're going to get our hands on some, not the ones that they would hand us, but ones that they are trying to inject into people.
There was there's absolutely no need for vaccines to extinguish the pandemic. You do not vaccinate people who aren't at risk from a disease. You also don't set about planning to vaccinate millions of fit and healthy people with a vaccine that hasn't been extensively tested on human subjects. Dr. Mike Yeadon, PhD, Pfizer's former vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory disease. We know about coronavirus from 30 years of experience is that, oh, sorry, what we know about coronavirus from 30 years of experience is that a coronavirus vaccine has a unique peculiarity, which as any attempt at making the vaccine has resulted in the creation of a class of antibodies that actually make vaccinated people sicker than they ultimately when they ultimately suffer exposure to the wild virus. That's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We have, of course, we have a the official I think mortality rate of this disease is zero, sorry, 0.013, 99.97. Of course, that's probably heavily exaggerated, considering the fact that in order to get that, they've exaggerated, the death rates. They've borrowed from other deaths. That's what the study from Johns Hopkins, the Dr. Brienne, I think,
And
study.
study up.
Yeah, where. Basically, there is no net increase in mortality rate this year. So, but there's been a drop in other deaths, heart disease, cancer, pneumonia. So they're borrowing deaths, and the way they've gotten these latest spikes in test results, of course, the PCR test, the false positive. They're running it at plus 40 cycles when it says you shouldn't do it past 35. So you're getting false. I mean, you get a lot more false positives. Florida recently came out and said that they want with the testing a report how many cycles they're on with each test, which means they're auditing it, meaning that the government down there is on to the scam. So not everyone's apparently on board with this. And of course, Florida is a state that isn't locked down, and they have actually there have better numbers in California, official numbers than California, New York, which are locked down. But the but again, you simply are not getting the numbers. And of course, they've never really explained what they mean by pandemic, do they? There's no science here really. Yet nevertheless, they're pushing this vaccine. It's not really a vaccine, is it? The way it's described, because it's not, and it's not.
Not a classical vaccine,
It's
no.
yeah, it's sort of it's gene editing or manipulating. It's playing with the DNA to I think to create a protein spike to create an automatic immune response. But only problem is that tends, at least from how it's described to me, it carries a lot of risk to carry an autoimmune reaction, meaning you start attack yourself, which means all these things that we're talking. This is what inflammatory disorders and diseases, which sometimes, although it's inflammatory disorder, doctors don't identify it as such. Like Crohn's disease or something, right?
Well, I mean, so they stick in this genetically modified entity. They know how to get it past the membrane into the cytoplasm, which is the what's called the factory floor of the cell. And so now this is where the DNA would work to create the proteins, that make the human being. And once this thing is inside the membrane, it fools the RNA into thinking that it is a coronavirus. And so now it produces an antigen, which in theory will help the body defend it in the future. So the problem, of course, one of the problems is that this artificial substance is not natural that you're using to fool the RNA to make replications of this in this process and end up with the antigen. the question is okay, so you've got this artificially creative antigen, but there are hundreds of coronaviruses. How do we know in the future that you're not going to start attacking these as well? Mm-hmm. And you don't, and if you could have what's called this, like a histamine storm, if you start suddenly attacking
the cytokine storm, right? They call it
cytokine. Excuse me. And yeah. So you have the way that you could test this would be over a very, very long period of time. And you know, at the very end of it, after years of animal trials, you would do human trials. Well, here, Tim,
not 6 months.
Yeah, our human trial is going to be the human race. And now, of course, you know, bearing in mind that this is for a virus which is fake, right?
Yeah.
Which is created for malevolent purposes. The idea that the vaccine would not be created for malevolent purposes is illogical at best and just completely naive at worst. I mean, it is just not possible in my mind that the vaccine ultimately isn't for destruction.
Listed one of the possible side effects is the fertility impact, meaning infertility. I think one of the effects of the protein will be the inability for the woman to form a placenta for a conceived egg.
Yeah, I mean, they have in fact, it was actually today that Pfizer brought out their vaccine document, and it just has a list of side effects that just goes on forever. I mean, you know, I actually have it here in front of me. There's just nothing that you can imagine that they don't worry about being caused by the vaccine. One of the side effects is death, which of course is always a classic side effect. and then you have to wonder, well, why are we risking all of this?
Why bother with the official death?
Given the reality of it, and therefore, we aren't doing it to fend off the COVID. There is another purpose. After 9/11, Bush Jr., I think he had 1,600 bioweapon grants created. All of them in this top secret bioweapon world. And you wonder, you know, well, what exactly were they trying to develop? Well, I think we're going to find out here pretty quick. I think we're going to be dealing with a very sophisticated bioweapon. I think in order for it to just really have the greatest lethality, it will have to have very little effect at first, but it will have long lasting, like in, for example, the prion type disease, you know, like mad cow. These kinds of diseases can sit there for years and then suddenly, you know, you're dead.
Well, it'd be like autism where they blame something else. They'll blame poor parenting or genetic.
They will be blaming no matter what it is. They'll be blamed. In fact, they'll say, well, it's because he didn't take his booster shot, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing, is that the government is malevolent. The media is controlled by the government. We just saw this with the pseudo presidential election. We just saw this with the pseudo virus and the pseudo coverage by the media of this thing. So we're dealing with a very, very malevolent political and informational world. And they have us in their crosshairs and they want us off the planet. Like Jim Morrison, the son of the Freemason Admiral Morrison, who ran the Gulf of Tonkin false flag, Jim sang, "We want the world and we want it now." That was in his song, "The End," which I think is describing, you know, a kind of a project. But in any case, this is our situation right now, right now. We have to develop a response against this. We have to try to organize as best we can, and we have to have skepticism about their claims, because they're hoping that we will just walk into oblivion without causing a fuss. Well, I think we should cause a fuss, And that starts with, when possible, whenever it is possible, spreading the information. The vaccines will be coming out, I don't know, within the next 60 days, I'm certain, if not sooner. I mean, they talk about Christmas being a key point. But first of all, don't take the vaccine. Don't let them, tempt you into taking it with the idea of Hawaiian vacations or something. You really need to know more about what's inside that vaccine.
Or a $1,200 relief check or something.
Yeah, or a check. You've got to find a way to get what you really want to be doing is to focus on what's inside the vaccine, helping people get their hands on it, helping them analyzing. And then once we know for sure what we have, start getting the information out about it to the public.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened, we've had this fake public health crisis. It was manufactured, war-gamed. It's been used to sort of short-circuit, get rid of our civil liberties, at least what remained of them, or get rid of the idea that we have them. They still exist.
Yeah.
Strengthen the governmental authority, the political leaders. They can declare these lockdowns and curfews, whatever. Of course, collapse the economy, sort of remake how we relate to one another. Masks, gatherings are now bad. The super spreader events, getting together for Christmas. You can close schools down, impose absolute control over workspaces. Recreational activities are suspended, entertainment. We now have public policy that's controlled by technocrats, incompetent boobs like Fauci. By the way, Fauci today, I saw a clip, he said that, I guess he was addressing the suspicion that some blacks have towards the vaccine. And he says, no need to worry because the vaccine was created by a black woman.
I know, that was just hilarious.
I mean,
that was just hilarious.
Really?
It doesn't seem possible, but just in the sense that
one black woman. The
vaccines are not created by a single person.
Got,
giant teams working on these things, and then secondly, to try to help black people feel okay about it, to tell them that it was developed by a black woman. I mean, this is just very crude and weird propaganda. I hope the black people do not take the vaccine because Oprah may have been involved with the creation of it.
Yeah, what was it? Oprah Winfrey? Was it Winnie Mandela? Was it Michelle Obama? Who created this vaccine?
All of the above.
But I was like, that's bizarre. It's just, what? It's stupid.
Yeah.
But that's the state. That's where we are right now. I mean, it's the real power. What we're saying now is real power is controlled by globalists. Oligarchy, that they operate not too far behind the scenes. I think they're pretty apparent now. And, that's the reality we have to deal with. This is a moment of clarity.
I was really happy that we did the show on the California crime families, because when you look at the Gettys and realize that they are really in backup, even to this day, people like Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. she comes from the Getty financial structure. She was brought into place by Willie Brown, who was working with the Jerry Brown and the Newsom family from the time he was brought into politics. So she is from this lineage, and that lineage has the skull and bones and the Rothschild family at the base of it. So when you say that the oligarch families are running the show and are not too far from the surface, they're getting more and more visible, in my opinion, as the independent media exposes them. And also just because I think that they're really unafraid now of being exposed, because a lot of people have basically given up intellectually, so they can just come out and not worry about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about what type of agency people have to fight some of this stuff. You have what, five sheriffs in California that I think preside over 17 million people who aren't abiding by Governor Newsom's lockdown. So there's a lot of resistance and just noncompliance that isn't being reported on. This is why the economy is functioning as much as it is. Same thing in New York. At what point, just thought process, you have a tyrannical governor who's a constitutional officer in violation of his oath of office. You have sheriffs who equally, they swore to uphold and defend the Constitution. At what point would you get a consortium of sheriffs to arrest the son of a bitch or the bitch
Yeah,
for
that's the
her,
case. Well, I mean,
and
it'd be
just
very
drag him out
tough
in
for
cuffs? I mean,
central, like the president, I think would be beyond capture. But a governor, I'm
yes.
sure, that would it c cannot commit crimes inside of a county without the sheriff having some kind of power over him.
Yes. And so what if the sheriff of LA County goes, I'm not gonna, you have a duty to defend the Constitution and theoretically against those who violate the Constitution. And if you have, and you have various court orders, even at the state level, like that very recent order in San Francisco saying that the order to shut down outdoor dining, it was overturned because it wasn't based on it. You didn't find any factual basis or scientific basis for the order. Well, you can apply that to everything, the entire
Of
pandemic
course.
scam.
Yeah, you made a great comment about that well, doesn't that just base, rule out the vaccine, rule out everything? Well, you're
Yeah.
right, it does. I mean, when the state was unable to produce any scientific evidence to show that there was some reason that ending restaurant activity was going to reduce the virus, presence or damage in their population, that should have just been across the board. Newsom just ignored it, of course.
Yeah, here is a here's a good example, New York. New York's a friend sent this to me. New York's own contact tracing data, put any faith in that, but never they're relying on it. New York's own contact tracing data showed that restaurants and bars are responsible for just 1.4% of infections. Now, infections are positive test results. I would say as high as 90% are, maybe even higher, are false positive because of how they do the tests.
Yeah, so that's nothing. I
So,
mean,
on
literally,
what
it's
basis
nothing.
does Cuomo close people's businesses, close indoor
Yeah,
dining?
which of course would be unconstitutional if that's. You see, the Constitution, Tim, it's a nice document. I have it right here, I'm staring at it, but it's only as powerful as the citizens make it, and we have to start using it as a basis for our behavior, but. Like you talked about, like the sheriffs arresting Newsom. I think that probably wouldn't have much benefit. What would have benefit is the sheriff standing up with people who can show the public that the virus is fake. If the sheriff would do that, that would be it'd be something that the local media might pick up on. The local media is less controlled, though to some extent it is, of course. But what we need is an information revolution. The arresting Newsom or things like this would be, I mean, it's a good idea and it's certainly justified, but I don't think it's really going to get us where we need to be. We need to have a larger and more aggressive citizenry in general.
Well, what I was looking for a situation where you have a state organization with some sense of legitimacy to exercise coercive power, force, organized, legalized, legitimate force, and use it
Couldn't
to
agree more.
attack a
But
system.
to get there is the question. How do we get there?
Yeah.
So right now, I think the way we get there is exposing the fake virus, exposing the fake election, and pointing out that, this isn't some amorphous crime syndicate that's just trying to take money. This is an organized group that is trying to destroy and, literally end the life of these population
Yeah,
groups.
this is why, I mean, I was listening to a lady down in California, again, go back to her, where she was being interviewed, and her and the person interviewing her are like, this doesn't make any sense. Why is Garcetti doing this? Why is Newsom doing this? It does make sense if the objective is to destroy these businesses.
Exactly. And see, that's a great example. That's exactly the problem. Is that they are looking at the world as though it is the reality that the oligarchs have created, that the idea of the democracy and maybe some of the politicians are corrupt, but they're all humans, we're all sharing this humanity. This is just incorrect. We are there are groups that are organized ethnically that are determined to genocide the rest of the planet. And so if that restaurant owner knew that, understood that, then there wouldn't be the confusion of this doesn't make any sense. Nor would the response be, well, I'm going to go into the court system and try to get, you know, some help here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just completely, it's like the people who thought the Supreme Court was going to overturn the election and hand it to Trump and the Q theory would take a place and all these people are going to get arrested. I mean, it's just a dream world.
Because the same power consortium that orchestrated the fake election, the fake pandemic.
Exactly. If you understand the fake virus, then you are literally clear-minded. You see, you are clear-minded. You aren't dealing with the world you thought existed. You're dealing with the new world, with the idea that there is a malevolent and secret organization that is controlling government and controlling the media. Which, you have that as a premise, you're going to be clear-minded.
Yeah, this is the hour of maximum peril, but it's also the hour of maximum opportunity. Because
absolutely.
Now we have a moment of clarity. And there are people who are very close to losing it. People are very stable on the surface. You're pushing people to the wall. And these are people, law-abiding people. And, you know, like I said again, to our governor here, who just issued a stupid order, again, nonsensical, unenforceable order. It's there to raise anxiety, fear, put more pressure on business, but doesn't achieve anything from a public health standpoint, epidemiological standpoint, but it does put pressure on business by making it harder for businesses to operate, is the on the state seal, it reads Sic Semper Tyrannis, thus to all tyrants.
Yeah.
And they're going to push it. And this is why I'm hoping for some sort of organized way to do this, because you don't want civil war. But at some point, citizens' committees are going to have to form, and they're going to have to organize and hope for some sort of defection or dissension among members of the organs of state. They're going to have to take these people out.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give them due process at this point.
We can't be afraid of civil war because basically, in some contexts,
we already are
self-defense.
We already are at civil war. We're low-grade civil war. It's getting higher and higher.
Yeah, but the question is how to take the emotion that's going to, you know, it is coming right now from the anger over the fake election, the anger over the fake lockdown, all of these things which are deliberately destroying the Europeans in America, and the African Americans and Latinos, we're all getting wiped out. No one is, you know, they may think African Americans, some of them may think, well, this is going to be great, you know, with Harris in the presidency. No, it's not going to be great. I'm telling you, we're all being led into a workers' paradise, and the workers' paradise is the Moloch mouth in which everyone is burned to death. So, so look, you know, If we go to, if there are pockets, and I'm sure over the next year you're going to see this, there's going to be Proud Boy type events. I mean, look what's going on tonight with, you know, Antifa in Portland. They've taken over a whole, you know, couple square blocks of residents. You know, I mean, it looked to me like kind of not middle class, but it wasn't a ghetto. And yet there they were in complete control. They have weapons. The police aren't coming in. They barricaded it. You can easily imagine, you know, a kind of a violent encounter in some point in the future between the citizens and this group. I mean, it's inevitable, right? Okay, these things will happen without trying to show the citizens the real context that led up to this unfortunate violence. We're not going to make the progress that we need to. We really need to simply organize ourselves into self-instruction for the European, self-instruction for the American citizen groups, right? Where there's just 90 whatever percent of the public is in a dream world. Some of them, and a really important fraction because they are already at the point of skepticism, some of the dream world ended. This afternoon, I think, with the SCOTUS's decision to, you know, like kick out the Texas lawsuit and the end of the Trump fantasy. So that group should not be discouraged or disoriented. They've just been given a very, very clear indication of what reality is. You know, it's just like you say, this is a great opportunity. This is the greatest opportunity we've ever had to break through the fake world that has been given to us for hundreds of years and to see what's real. We have to see what's real, Tim, so we can actually act effectively against it. And that's why I don't expect me or anyone really who's clear-minded to be moping about because Trump lost. Look, Trump is just in on the deal as Biden. Trump put Rudy Giuliani, as head lawyer. I mean, remember he was one of the 911 insiders. So, I mean, this isn't a good indication of someone who's trying to fight for the public. Look, we're not going to be depressed. This is a moment of clarity. It's a tough world, but we are designed to fight. We're not designed to, as humans, we're not designed to just be depressed and go into a fetal position and let dictators roll us into the grave. We're actually, if we connect into our real self, get rid of the dream that keeps us from it, we're designed to fight. That's really what we are. We're fighters. We have to fight really smart, though, you see. We can't just, go half-cocked and start shooting people. We need to fight really smart. And the first goal is information. We've got to spread information widely. Should be possible now, Tim, wouldn't you think? Isn't there enough visible fakery so that people can start? I mean, isn't it possible now?
Yeah, it's the hour of maximum peril, hour of maximum opportunity here, because the system is completely, in order to carry this operation out with the COVID, the fake pandemic, and then the fake elections, and this the Supreme Court again destroying its legitimacy in the eyes of 80 million Americans at least. Now the question is, what's to be done? You can't rely on the political process. We're never going to vote our way out of this situation anyway.
Yeah, it's just you can see right now, especially since they control the voting count.
Yes, that's obvious.
I mean that avenue is blocked.
Good thing is they're going to roll out this vaccination thing, and that program was rolled out under a Biden-Harris administration. There's going to be a whole heck of a lot more resistance to it than there would be under a Trump administration.
Yeah, that's right. That was why I thought that they actually were going to give Trump the last second, because I thought the Operation Warp Speed would be a lot easier under Trump, because now when they bring it out, it could be a flashpoint. And I hope it is.
Do you think the inauguration, do you think Trump, he's not conceding. He may never concede. If the president doesn't concede, does he show up at the inauguration day?
He may, if he shows up in a tank.
Yeah, it's like, or Republicans boycott. You have 106 Republicans. And I mean, how this plays out. I mean,
these are great ideas, and these would be great optics. I mean, the Republicans should opt out.
They should.
They should actually legally succeed. They don't have to participate in a kangaroo political system like the U.S. Congress. I mean, that system has been exposed by this election.
Yeah, and at the state level, primary those Republicans who aren't doing their duty.
Working on organizing their states to defend them against a malevolent and illegitimate federal government, and they should be working with the independent media to get the real information of reality out to their citizens.
But it's so out there. I mean, you had almost three quarters of Republicans and 30% of Democrats saying the election was a fraud. And that's despite the blackout of the mainstream media.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
think
so
about that.
Are some of these Republican politicians who are angry and clear-minded, they should start doing research. I mean, they should put two and two together, first of all, and realize that, well, if the election is fake and the pandemic is, that means the pandemic is fake. And that means that the virus is fake. I better do something here, but understanding what it is. I would love to see some of these Republican angry politicians do things like seize the vaccines for analysis, something like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should really start doing radical, yuppie-like street theater stuff to start getting the public aware of the idea of the malevolent secret society running government. This is a great time. If there are politicians who are brave and are clear-minded, and I actually know that from time to time these people will listen to you and me, so let's just see if they have the courage of their curiosity. So they should be thinking about how to do it. I mean, like the guy today, the Texas Attorney General, talking about, we really need to start creating an organization and people want to live under our Constitution. Great idea. Okay, let's do that by starting the education process of saying, the election was fake. We all know it. But we also have to realize the virus is fake, too. And now here comes the vaccine. Why are they wanting to give us the vaccine? Mm-hmm. The same people who rigged the election and created the fake virus are now wanting us to take a real vaccine. That doesn't add up. Let's do some guerrilla political activity, seize some of these viruses, the vaccines, and get some real analysis of them so that the public can know what's inside the darn thing before they stick it in their body.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, why would you even, since not the taking it? Now, what they're trying to do is, at least in the United States, they won't make it mandatory. They make it contingent. If you don't take the jab, you won't be able to participate in commercial activity, access commercial buildings, or get on a flight, enter a government building, and these sort of things, go to a school. And so that's what they'll try to do.
Big deal. Well, they can't threaten us. It's all locked down and ended anyway.
We should
be working around this by people who don't want to take the vaccine, who are afraid of it or concerned about what it might do to their kids, organize themselves into little economic pockets.
Yeah, yeah, you have their own little place. Yeah.
How to eat healthy food and to have social interaction with one another, and how to defend yourself against an illegitimate jackboot thug sheriff or police. That may want to break up your entity. You know, this is the stuff we need to start doing immediately.
I saw one where they'll offer debt relief if you take the virus, the vaccine. So it's what, Jubilee for the, Jubilee with the jab.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean,
well,
of course.
How about this Jubilee without the jab? If you can actually do a Jubilee, why don't you just do it? And we're not worried about the jab, but it's like trying to bribe people more or less into it. And that's sort of a self-defeating argument, because if this shot is to my benefit, I should have to be bribed to take it.
Of course, it's ludicrous. if the vaccine was beneficial, people would be waiting. You wouldn't have to be paying $1,500 to take the darn thing. It shows the fact that they have to bribe you. It just shows the malevolent intent in back of the thing.
Yeah.
So.
What about the idea that it could prevent women from developing a placenta for their unborn child? So it's an anti-fertility thing. It's a population control device. That's something that people have suspected about vaccines for a very long time, and with a lot of evidence. There's been it's documented cases of them using vaccines or inoculations as a covert population control program. You had that situation in Kenya where HTC antigen was used in anti-fertility vaccines under the cover of a tetanus shot. And this was actually documented. This was UNICEF and the World Health Organization, mind you. No one ever went to jail for this. And so you have that reality where they have used this thing. And also the whole ideology that people who got into vaccines, Jonas Salk himself was an advocate of using injections to regulate the population. And population control is a big ideology among people like Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the organizations that are funding these operations. They're obsessed with population control. And
Gates' grandfather was a eugenicist.
Yes.
His father was head of Planned Parenthood. I mean, this is three generations of trying to reduce population. He's the one you're going to, let you put something in your body, for heaven's sakes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's another character. He's a college dropout. He's effectively At least he's the front man or the face of organizing the response to this fake pandemic. It's fitting because he's fake. The pandemic's fake, so why not have them do that? But it's like this is not the myth of technocracy where, okay, rule of the experts. Well, is that all bad? They're experts, right? They're technically proficient. They're smarter than all of us. But it turns out these experts are just shills for these billionaires because they're the ones that buy off science. Like the Pritzkers can buy off
Of
science
course.
and make it seem like transgenderism and normal and reassignment surgery is legitimate. And they actually fund medical institutions to say giving hormone blockers to 8-year-old kids is normal and legal. By the way, these are the same people who say follow the science, who say that's perfectly fine to give, hormone blockers to kids.
Yeah, I mean, see, and these things should trigger the energy of common sense in the citizens. They should see these as indicators that there is some malevolence that is controlling science, because these positions are just completely preposterous. They're obviously damaging children, and they're not they don't have anything tangible in terms of what the benefit is. So
Well,
the
vaccines it's always been a myth, right? I mean, vaccines that if you look at it, is the polio vaccine actually caused polio, and in order to get rid of polio, they just redefined polio. They changed the
Yeah, and
diagnostic parameters. I
since
think
then,
Sabin
hundreds.
himself in 1977, Albert Sabin, who was the developer of the second polio vaccine, said that after 1960, more of polio cases were created by the vaccine than the wild virus. I mean, what? And okay, so. That's the whole myth then, right? Well, yeah, if you dig into the polio story, you realize that polio was in sharp decline going into the 1950s, and what we called polio may have been something completely different, like arsenic poisoning or injection-induced paralysis. That's
How
another
about the DDT that everyone was
the
getting sprayed
DDT.
with?
Yeah. I mean,
There was all sorts of things, and it was a broad, the symptoms of polio were very wide. I
yes.
mean, there was paralysis, there was sudden onset paralysis, but there's all these other things. They just lumped all kinds of
Acute
effects and
flaccid
toxicity.
paralysis. Yeah. Same
Yeah,
thing. I mean, it
and so.
goes back to even smallpox. The smallpox, this is the myth. Edward Jenner, the smallpox vaccine caused smallpox outbreaks. And the decline in all these diseases followed with the improvement in people's diet and hygiene and public sanitation and nothing to do with heroic intervention of men in white coats and with needles, with the syringes. It's a complete myth. Which is part of the problem, right? This is part of the problem. These myths.
So, I mean, we need to recognize that the group that is in control is attempting to create the Georgia Guidestone number of humans, which is 500 million, which means, over 8 billion have to leave the planet. This is not a decision that, you get to participate in. You get the effects of it.
They're telling you. I mean, the World Economic Forum, it's 20 years, 2030, you own nothing, and it's great. Well, someone's going to own everything that was taken from you.
That's right. So,
It's
and
not
for
going to
them,
go
it's going to be
away.
super. It'll be super great
Yeah.
because they'll have everything and we'll have nothing. I mean, that's just the brave new world. That is a The only way that world could function, and and he talks about you'll be really happy. The only way that world could function is if they have complete control over your mind, if they're producing you in a test tube, and if they're educating you with drugs and propaganda noise since, the moment you come out of the artificial womb.
Here's the
So
thing.
it's not a real humanity that there he's talking about. It's the automatons and the bio kind of toys that they will create, and that there will be a servant class, a delta and epsilon.
Yes.
Let's not let them do this.
We're already seeing that. I mean, you're already seeing that, sort of the transformation of man with the foods, and you'll see that if you go walk. If you walk into a Walmart, which I don't want to be, misanthropic, but if you look at, what Americans have been turned into.
Well, just take a look at a picture of a beach in the 1930s, and then go
Now.
around and walk outside if you can see some humans without a mask on. I mean, obesity and also just weakness, physical weakness is rampant, and it didn't exist at all before they got at us with the toxicity. So this is a long project that they've been generally weakening us in all different ways. I mean, transgenderism is just one of the final forms of it. But that even, was on the blocks back in 1920 with, Bella Cohn and Gregor Lucas, when they had the kids and they, gave them sexual degenerate education in the morning and cartoons in the afternoons to try to break down the sense of being a human.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would see themselves as animals.
Well, you break down male-female, which is essential to being human.
And of course. And they would break down male-females because that's part of the self-image of a healthy human being.
Make them not attracted to one another by weak, effeminate males and, strong, assertive, bitter women. I mean, that's not a good combination.
Well, it's true. Absolutely.
They've done.
They have adjusted in every way they can the hormonal condition of humanity with the idea of producing homosexuality.
Yeah, what they can't get you with BPAs and the foods, they'll try to inject you directly with, by leaving you misgendered or something,
Yeah. I mean, I am very worried, though, that this vaccine that's coming out will be, in one way or another, lethal.
Well, it's so obviously irresponsible and reckless and malevolent. I mean, it's almost like it's in your face. Like, you're going to believe this?
Yeah.
You're going to...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like... Here's the thing is, we're talking about all these things, whether it's, the Great Reset, year 2030, Davos, the World Economic Forum, what they have planned. And they come out, I mean... Klaus Schwab wrote that book, The Great Reset, and if you read parts of it, he reads like a sci-fi novel. It's like a dystopic vision of the world.
Written by a James Bond villain.
Yeah, written by a Bond villain, which is like, really? Okay. Maybe they put up this German guy to curb who's really behind it. But anyway, put up a crowd
I wanted to give like practical ideas and things people could accomplish. I mean, you've got a lot of Republicans who sort of come out of the closet as real citizens in the last week.
Yes.
I think, you have guys who signed on to the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. There's 106,
they could be acting, but I have a feeling that you can trust them. Most of them that I saw seem sincere. If you have the capacity, contact them and just lay it out and say, okay, here we are. This is how I see the world. There is no rule of law. The election was fake. Your effort was great, but of course it had no impact on anything. What are we going to do? And here are some suggestions. Because these guys, these elected representatives who would stand against the fake election, they could be a collection of people who might actually help us organize politically and economically against the organized malevolent. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is a group that now we can get at. I'm going to be sending emails to them. I'm going to try to get their emails and I'm going to start see if I can contact them because oddly enough, I have found that some politicians are not completely brain dead or malevolent. I've had communications with some of our local guys and girls and, it takes a while, but it does seem like they're open for information after a certain point because they are wondering, too, why Newsom is doing things which, makes no sense. That idea makes no sense. So now they become open to other ideas. Well, let's contact all of those politicians that signed on. There was 109, I think, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of AGs, attorney generals that signed on different states.
At least 18,
we should be communicating with them, saying, okay, like the Texas AG, I'm sending an email to tomorrow morning. I mean, this guy said it's time to organize states that want to follow the Constitution, because what that means is he wants to organize citizens who want to be free, right? This is really what his, and now he was criticized for being a secessionist, but okay, it is.
By the way, that is part of the Texas Constitution. And also part of its conditions in it being allowed into the union, by the way, secession. So
let us contact all of them and say we need to think outside the box. We are about to be exterminated. The government is not just rigging elections. they're rigging the vaccine that we're going to get. We need to have ways to vet it. We need ways to get information. We need ways to set up an economic system that is healthy, that doesn't kill us with toxicity, and also is outside of the economic system that they're trying to destroy and force us into living out of Costco. We need ideas now to try to create an economy that will sustain groups, and a lot of those guys are plugged into church groups, and of course obviously they're politicians. They would know pre-existing groups that we can, that can be expanded and unified. You see, my point is, mm-hmm. we're not really starting at square one. There are a lot of people that were kind of halfway or part of the way, and organizations that had some of the understanding. But now they can, I think, be approached and given a more honest version, a more complete version of reality.
Well, I guess it won't happen in their states. But you have 18 attorney generals. They're law enforcement officers, so they have there's some power there. Again, we have all this happening, whether it's the Great Reset, election fraud, the pandemic, the lockdowns, something, Build Back Better. That was a slogan that was used by the slogan of the Great Reset and was used by the Biden campaign. Yet it's not a part of the political discussion on what exactly the Great Reset is, but yet it's so ambitious and poses such a great risk to everyone's everyday life. I mean, you're talking about complete control of the most intimate choices that people make, and prevention of them of even being able to earn a living and have a life. Yet it's not, no politician is talking about it. To me, that exposes or portrays the utter, I think, bankruptcy of the political process when something like that isn't even being debated, yet the slogans are being embraced by various governors and presidential campaigns. Shouldn't that raise the question? Oh, wait, what is this they're talking about? Build back better from what?
Jim, it's as you said, this is a moment of great opportunity. The group that was trying to overturn the fraudulent election, people like Sidney Powell, mm-hmm. People like the state AGs, they were, quixotic. They didn't have a chance because they were, I think, led by a lifetime actor, Trump, who kind of knew the script from the very beginning. And moreover, the legal process they were trying to bring their case to is completely compromised and wasn't something they'd ever get a fair hearing in. But that doesn't mean that as a group they aren't righteous and that they can't continue to be organized. That's really what I hope happens now, is that the group that tried to make America's election real and honestly democratic, that group will stay together. We need to stay together. This is the group that we can organize and be able to fight and be able to create some territorial security for ourselves with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow there's a protest in the state capitol regarding latest, quote, containment measures. Yeah, maybe it'll be more tomorrow. And tomorrow there's a protest in Washington, D.C., too. And maybe more will show up because of this decision by the Supreme Court.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that you've got you have the fake election and the fake legal system now pretty well exposed. Mm-hmm. You have the aggressive reality of the Antifa mayors. I think the situation in Portland is going to be, pretty clear cut. People can understand that's the future of all of the cities over the next few years. And so what are you going to do? I mean,
in New York City, you had like 300 middle-aged men showing up outside a pub that the city government had shut down under the pretext of a COVID, containment measure. And you had, I think they had dispatched like 25, 30 cops. Can't do that everywhere.
No. Well, that's the thing.
We got to overwhelm them.
Our numbers can be really big, far greater than can be policed, but we have to organize them.
Yeah.
If we organize, we don't even have to worry about the police. We will be the police if we have the right kind of organization. We can create towns that are safety zones. you know, these things are all possible. We need to have communication with the state AGs. We need to have politicians who are aware that this is the only hope, and start fighting for us, because the politicians are the one with the bully pulpit. They're the ones who can get information out. And now that we have this resistance to the fake election organized, we have to keep it intact. We have to, you know, make it more energized, and we have to bring in the people who are living in the dream world of QAnon. They need to be inside this world, the world of realistic people who are trying to do real things to protect ourselves.
Well, with Biden and Harris, I can't think of an administration lacking not just credibility, but legitimacy. With Biden obviously suffering from dementia, someone invokes the 25th Amendment, or he, you know, drops dead 6 months into the presidency, pulls a Harrison, or 30 days, he died in 30 days after his inaugural. But then Harris is president. Come on.
I mean, well, I think she will be president. I don't think Biden can last 2 years.
Yeah, but I said, can you see her wagging her finger? She can have any authority, any legitimacy?
She will be president. She's, you know, if you look into how she was developed, you'll see she comes right out of the crime family, relating to Skull and Bones and the Rothschilds and the Gettys that we talked about. So this is who will have control. But, you know, Tim, they also had the same control over Trump, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just a different kind of actor. So the way that we have to stop kind of, you know, interacting in the dream world. To me, the idea of like, oh my gosh, Trump, he lost. If only he'd won. Biden, Harris could be bad. I mean, this is like the QAnon people.
Well, the problem with that is Trump was president, you had these riots.
Yeah.
With Trump as president, you had the lockdowns. Trump was president. He did nothing to secure the election when he was in the position
to do it.
No, of course
not. And like we talked about this, if he was convinced and real that there was fraud, he should have had the military and had those governors arrested.
He should have been arrested, I mean, for the lockdowns.
But, of course. You know, of course. So,
you said, if you can send federal troops in to...
We've got to get out of the...
He just had to send troops in to stop the lockdown. And, I mean, he didn't have to arrest George Wallace to integrate the schools. He just sent the troops in, right?
Yeah.
You know, or Fabus, the governor in Arkansas. But I'm saying is, you know, if troops can be used to... or National Guard can be used to integrate schools, it shouldn't be used to let people open up their businesses under the guise, you know, under the authority of the 14th Amendment, you know.
Of course. So anyway, this is all to the good. It's like you say, this is a great opportunity. It's very clarifying. Let's not be depressed. We've got an organization that actually can get some stuff done. Let's try to energize it and to grow.
Yeah, and don't look at these offices as having any legitimacy or authority. And maybe you have 75, 80 million Americans who now view it as such. And you can work from that basis, you know.
Yeah, we just have to organize the real people into a real political force.
I mean, the Supreme Court, okay. Obviously, they have, you know, they're not following some hallowed law or constitution. They're just, you know, they're following orders too. You know, all those orders of the oligarchs, and that's nothing. It's go after the political class, the managerial. They're a managerial class, well fed, well paid, but a managerial class is you have to work your way up the totem pole and go after the real super criminals, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay, Joe.
Tim, it's been a pleasure. And next week we're still in insanity month. Who knows what'll happen, but hopefully we'll be back. Okay.
Yes. So, all right. Okay. Take it easy. Bye bye.
Yeah. Bye bye. Thank you.